Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu, kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale kalapo kondwela leloeka tutikumbukila kweta chokela amai kuvutika mutima koma zoti tazisoa ni maona misozi masomwake ni mavuto abale ni mavuto. Kumwanako kuipirendi kuchitoko na mumu follow hamama inei izi wanda zota nizi taeza talema na yuma pempelo.
Good morning and welcome to Zanda Blog Talk Radio. This is Saturday, June the 27th. The year is almost coming to crossing over beyond the halfway mark. And we have had, my goodness, it's been a roller coaster today. And everybody, welcome back, Roger, Dr. Patrick, those that are joining us, Charles and everybody, Zebron, good morning. And we have started a fire here, Dr. Patrick.
Yes, we did.
Roger, you're almost making me change my questions for Mayor Nyende.
well, what can we do? I think this problem with Dr. Patrick and the friends here, mm-hmm. we have to send a message. We have our great counselor in Dr. Patrick, who has always to be measured in what we do and say. But this problem needs to be, it has to come to an end. It has to.
Yeah.
Politicians have to be held to account for this. This is a contract before the next election. Whoever doesn't give us a good plan on how they are going to solve this electric problem in Zambia, you can say goodbye to power. This is the contract I think we should be writing. And maybe just me review the constitution every year. If electric, we have so much load shedding. We have election next year. You are gone.
Okay.
So that's what we could put as or demand as a platform. One of the platforms for each politician. What will you do to upgrade the power sources? Mm-hmm. Not only in Lusaka, but throughout Zambia.
Yes.
And let's hear what they have to say.
Mm-hmm. What I'm working on here, whilst the show is going on, Roger, before I want Charles to comment on that discussion, we are waiting for the mayor to be connected in Lusaka. I've already got some things going on with Minister of Energy, Managing Director for ZESCO. Charles, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Charles, me, I believe we can invest in energy. I don't know what your thoughts are.
I was actually reading on the Facebook page for Zambia Blog Talk. I think the key suggestion there is privatization. And I think if the government or private citizens can also venture into renewable energies, I think that would take a lot of stress from ZESCO. The key word we keep on all appreciating is the fact that there is lack of priority on the part of the government, because they are using ZESCO as a piggy bank. yes, when it comes to elections.
Yes. Now, that one is the huge, the biggest problem. You know, like we had the in the mind. Sorry, brother, I was to cut you short.
That's fine.
You just touched on the nerve. When we had the mines, the money which were being made by ZCCM, they use it to other, you know, social aspects, to improve other social aspects of the nation, at the expense of buying capital equipment for the mine. This is the same problem ZESCO has today. ZESCO is a cash cow for government. And if we don't solve this problem, this ZESCO issue, it is here to stay for a very, very long time. So we are going to need a very, very bold leadership to come from President Lungu. This is one thing I think I'm waiting for President Lungu to do. To give us one bold thing he's going to do. I'm president. This is one bold thing like Obama. This is a health care. I'm not scared. Boom. I'm done. President Lungu, give us even, you know, privatize this. Privatize it. Don't be afraid. Privatize it.
Nathan, Roger, do you know when the mayor from Lusaka comes on, this will be a milestone for Zambia Blog Talk Radio, because from the beginning up to today, we have covered every province and at least one district in every province, with the exception of Lusaka. And today, we will have completed covering every province with at least one district. So
wow.
Congratulations to you.
Oh, great. I know you keep those stuff, Dr. Patrick, which sometimes I am unable to do. Then, yes, we are bringing in Lusaka, and we have tried to go. Or is this just, Dr. Patrick, the bias in me and my hatred of the central town, the damage that it has done? But thank you. Dr. Musanje.
Yes, Roger, I was actually trying to text you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the reason is because we are talking about this is ZESCO. And I heard that the president promised or made a statement that Zambia is going to start exporting power to Mozambique. I don't know what others have heard and what that means, because if we cannot satisfy our local consumption, can we even think of exporting, exporting the power away to gain some money? Let me hear from other people.
Okay. Titus, what do you say?
Yes. I think it's kind of almost foolish to do that. Sorry to call my president that. I think it's these podiums that people are given to say something, and if you don't really have something and the Mozambique has a problem, you want to offer yourself. I mean, look at the choppers. I was also reading about choppers going to different places in Petauke. Instead of choppers going to find out where power is gone and what they can do about it, they're going to Petauke for one MP. I mean, what will that MP do anyway? They're already in government before. We have brought them to the radio. For your sake, Dr. Patrick, that is Dora Siria, who was the Minister of Education. So all these five helicopters are going just to support one person. Instead of even finding out what the problem is with ZESCO in Petauke, they are going for political things.
Hello, Titus.
So to me, yes.
Hello, sir.
Let me cut you short. Our guest has joined us. Ladies and gentlemen, like we have been announcing, that will be joined by His Worship, the Mayor of Lusaka, Mr. George Nyendwa is joining us from Lusaka, Zambia. And he took the trouble to go to the office. What an honorable leader of the people. Your Worship, thank you for joining us, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, thank you. How is it, America?
America is good. Everybody is ready for you here. You were elected on March 3rd, 2015, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you have been the counselor for Chaisa Ward 20, and the report says that you have been the longest-serving counselor in the city of Lusaka. Can you please share with us when you were first elected as a counselor and how your journey has been?
My first election as a councillor in Chaisa Ward 20 was on 27th December 2001.
Mm-hmm.
This was under a party called FDD. I go ahead?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. When I was elected, my ward Chaisa had a lot of challenges, of which when I got into office, I had to study what was happening with my predecessor, who was a councillor there for about 7 years, and the other one who was there before him for 27 years. Then I looked at what was happening, that they were just doing works without involving the people on the ground. So after my thoroughly search, I find out that there was a committee in the ward, which was then called the Resident Development Committee, which is now called Ward Development Committee. Because residents was only looking at a small area of the ward. Because some of the wards have got two type of buildings in the area. One is conventional, the other one is the unplanned. So when I started, I looked at that committee, and I had to put my program, which I was preaching when I was campaigning to be a councillor. Because at that time, those who were in Lusaka, we had very few TVs that time, but people at every 17 hours, people could see an advert on TV, somebody like on a very tall mountain, which was a garbage waste in Chaisa.
Wow.
And also the roads were unpassable. There were no roads. There was no water. Everything was a mess. So when I came in, I took my proposal to the community, that committee of the community, which was headed by a very good committee, headed by Adrian Sefu. Together, he also showed me his program as a community. We married them together. Then made a project proposal for the community, which we took it to Lusaka City Council. Lusaka City Council sold it to the stakeholders. And one of the stakeholders was Care International Zambia, which he sold it to Europe and CEDA, and CEDA came on board. And also internally, I've got some foreigners staying in my ward, Chaisa. These are the Somalis. I went to them. I said, I've got these challenges. I'm a new counselor. I need the help. It asked me what help. I said, I don't need your money. I need some help, either transport or fuel, so that I can ask council to help me clear the mountains of garbage in my area. Then the Somalis, without hesitation, that time, when I'm talking about 3 million plus, that time it was quite a lot of money. They just told me, can you organize some drums, about 5 drums, which I did. Took to them, they gave me 5 drums of diesel. I took to the community, and it was a show for everybody. Everybody could not believe. We started, I told council also could not believe that was an initiative I can make as a new councillor of the ward in Lusaka. Then the council gave me all the tracks into Chaisa. It was a seashore for everybody who was there now watching, who never saw any tracks coming to the areas for a past more almost 27 years. We cleared all the garbage. It became a history. Then Care International, after sending our proposal to CEDA, CEDA picked some projects, about three, four projects in my ward. One, they sourced some money for the water reclamation in Chaisa. That was 1998, before I came in, but I was working with the community. I knew what was involved. Then 1999, 2000, Care came on board. The community themselves dug the trenches to put pipes all over the compound. 2001, 2002, January, we had the water, clean water, piped water from the tap. Up to now, we have never had any shortage of water in Chaisa. That's number one. Number two, the road infrastructure was done through CARE, through CEDA, Swedish Imbas, where they gave us money to do the roads. They gave us money to do the three tower rides, which at night you come to my ward, you'll be lucky in the day. They gave us the money to do a footbridge, 300-meter footbridge, from my ward to the next ward, which is just in our ward, 21. Because there was no road, there was no bridge for the school-going children to cross when it's rain season. That was the 100% response. Then came 2006, when my term came to an end. The community itself said, no, we want to continue with you with the project which are not complete. Then, since your FDD party seems not to be a future, we are taking you as a community to PF, Patriotic Front, which is now in government. I was on opposition again. We went for a campaign. I told the people what had started, which they saw, and the people said, you are going back to council. I won with a landslide against the eight of us, and the closest person to me was behind by 4,000. I won in 2006. I continued with my projects. There was no clinic in Chaisa, health clinic for health. I fought. There was no land. I went to the people at land. It was a big land. Up to now, there's some space still. I negotiated with them until they gave me a big land where I went to the government. I told the government, I've got this land. My ward has got 40,000 people and has got no health facility. Can I have a clinic? The government listened to me and they gave me a clinic, which was opened in October 2010. After 2010, after 2011, my term came to an end. I didn't want to go in for the third time. But the people said, no, we want to continue with you. I said no. Then the present, late president, may his soul rest in peace, and that the Secretary General that time, they said, no, whether you are tired or what, we are getting you on. We have not worked in the government. This time we are going to win. As a patriotic front to form government, you need to be a part of us in the government. Since he was the president, I had respect for him. I said, if it is going to come, I'll get the certificate. The certificate came. I continued with my work. 2011, I was approached by some American NGO. They were supposed to do a clinic in Johannesburg. While they were in Johannesburg, they found some condition there. I was called from there by one of the workers who is working in Zambia, Victoria Kalota. She called me from South Africa and said, Councillor Nyendwa, we've got a problem here. We need to put a RRT, but you have been given conditions. I called them. It was a Friday. I said, I can give you land in my area. I've got a space, a small space. at a health center, that I'm sure it can fit what you want to put. Then the flu on Saturday, my member of parliament, Honorable Kapata, was not in Zambia. She was out of the country. I took them to site. I said, this is the site. I know I'm alone, but this is to the benefit of the community. When they looked at the place, they said it was okay. Mm. They flew back to America. When my MP came, I went to her office. I said that visitors from America, this is what they brought, and I showed them to the place. They have liked the place. They said they can put the ARSP in Zambia. The MP told me, can you ask them to write a letter? They did the letter. I took the letter to her. Then we took the MP wrote a letter to the government. The government said, it's a space of land. This is the ARSP which we haven't got in Zambia. Can you ask them to give us their condition, and we allow them to build. They were allowed. They built the first ever beautiful ARSP in Zambia, in my ward, which is now operational. Mm. It took them less than a year. The whole beautiful infrastructure was commissioned and is now in operation.
Excellent. Let me cut you there, Mayor, so that we make some progress here due to time factor. Shortly after you were elected or declared winner, of course, you went through an oppose. You made a statement, and you said you were going to address the issue of street vending, which has been a problem in the city of Lusaka for a long time. I know you've only been in office for 4 or 5 months. How have you addressed the issue of street vending? Where do things stand now?
The issue of street vending, I want to be very honest with you that my predecessor, Honorable Mlenga Sata, and of course all of us as a council, we had put a program to create some place between Los Angeles Road, which is Lumumba, and Lumumba Road, and the other side of the Chiwaria School, to pave a space which we call Simon Mwewa Lane, so that space, for a start, we pave it, which we have done, just waiting for now to put the infrastructure, like the 3 toilets, which we're going to service the people, the street vending. So immediately we put the toilets. We are moving the vendors to that lane, which every vendor has accepted, and they're just waiting for us, council, to move them. But any time I'm in the process to finalize the procurement at Lusaka City Council here, so that we can put those 3 toilets and move the street vendors from the street. And they are very happy and they are ready to move. So that's the first step we have started. Then after that, there's another space between the city market and the new Soweto market, in between the before the Zesco power line. There's another old market which we need to upgrade that one, so that it can fit all the people, those trading in the streets, and those who are going to put at the Simon Mwewa Lane. That's the step I've taken as a council, with my colleagues in the council.
Excellent. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. Our special feature here is Honorable George Nyendwa, the mayor of Lusaka. Honorable Nyendwa, you will agree that any capital city or city of any country, for that matter, like Lusaka, is the gateway or entrance to any country. Lusaka faces a lot of challenges. Garbage, traffic is just a nightmare. I don't know. Before I go to my colleagues for them to ask their questions, what is on your table? I know you are still in transition. You've only been in office, like I've said, a few months. What do you have on your table to address the traffic congestion?
Number one, you talked about waste, the garbage.
Yes.
The waste in the city. The waste in the city is because of our street vendors who are just throwing anyhow, because of the not clear direction. As we move them to that stream, that stretch I've mentioned, the issue of waste will be minimized, because we are even putting containers at that stretch that every morning, every evening, the vendors themselves will be sweet feeding to put in the containers. And also, I've had a lot of discussions with stakeholders, those who have shown interest, after we had pressed an advert of interest to bring people on board to take up position to help the issue of waste through establishment of the companies which may also be able to start recycling the waste and also generate power, energy. And on the congestion, is caused by, again, the street vending, because the street vendors are more than maybe close to 5,000 people trading in the streets every day, which are places that have taken off all those parking spaces where vehicles can be parked, and they are trading on those spaces, which has compounded to a lot of traffic jam in the city. Immediately, we sought out the issue of street vending. The town, the CBD, will be free of that type of congestion we are seeing now.
Excellent. Okay, let me bring in my colleagues who have a few questions for you. We are speaking to Lusaka Mayor Honorable George Nyendwa. Let's go to Florida. Charles Mukoka, please go ahead with your question.
Thank you, Your Worship, for joining us today. It's really an honor for you to be on the radio.
Thank you, sir.
My first question, you have talked about controlling street vending and the traffic congestion. I think the key problem is with town planning. What are we doing about town planning? As the population increases, do we develop upstairs, downstairs to expand the loads? We have like crazy amount of influx of guest houses. Mm-hmm. People are just building anywhere. They wake up today, they throw up a structure somewhere. Is the council regulating these things?
Yes, you're 100% right. I'll give you a background of Lusaka City as a capital city. When it was first suggested that Lusaka should be a city, the population then was only less than about 200,000 people living in Lusaka. Today, I'm talking about, during the day, working days, about 3 million. At night, about 2.2 to 2.1 million. Yes, the planning that time only thought of a small number of population of people living in the city. But because of being a capital city, where everybody everywhere just thinks of going to a capital city, where sometimes things will be easier to be found, like jobs, because of the way it has been put, all investors, they only come to the capital city and be given some opportunities, the offices to run their businesses. So people have flooded the city. You are quite all right. But yes, if you, I don't know how long ago you've been to Zambia, but Lusaka has grown to the south, east, north. We are expanding very well with the new type of infrastructure. And also, to what you have mentioned, yes, we as Lusaka City Council has got a master plan now, which we intend to use immediately. Everything is put in order. You will be seeing quite a number of infrastructure development in terms of building going up. Because of what is happening, what is on the ground now, is only on the floor. There's nothing going up. But we have encouraged, through the new master plan, that people who want to do any putting up of buildings in Lusaka, they should start looking at going up. That's the condition Lusaka Council is putting on the table.
Thank you so much. My second question is obviously the main concern regarding ZESCO road shedding. Lusaka, as a city, you are one of the biggest stakeholders with ZESCO.
Yes,
are you not concerned, or are you doing anything to partner with ZESCO to improve their power deliveries to the citizens?
Yeah, I tell you, if you were neighbors and I showed you the messages in my phone every day, I get that concern that you have raised, that every day is to receive a load shedding notice. Every day. We are concerned as citizens of the city. Well, that's where everybody is depending on. The excuse of ZESCO now is that because we had not enough lanes between 2014-2015 season, that the order table has gone down, we are going to experience a further load shedding as we are getting now. Yes, as a city, that's why I've talked to a lot of partners who have visited my office, and I've also traveled quite a number of trips abroad. I've discussed with a lot of people that we need, as a city, out of our waste, which we have got quite a lot of waste in the city, if that, with what is happening in other countries, where they generate energy out of waste, if in Lusaka we can have that one company which can generate energy out of waste, meaning ZESCO will pull up their socks, because Lusaka, everybody of Lusaka will connect themselves to Lusaka City Council, because even our rate will be lower than what ZESCO is charging.
Yeah.
So that's another intervention we're trying to look at.
Yeah, that is true, Mr. Honorable Nyendwa. Allowing a private investment is going to help a lot of these problems. Let me take you back to the garbage situation before we allow others and we continue the discussion. Is the council itself collecting the garbage, or you've contracted private companies? How is it working?
While it is working, there are three phases. CBD and some other areas, council is collecting. The other areas we have given to franchise contractors, that is private companies.
Okay.
The other one, Lusaka City Council has involved in the community. This we call the CBEs, the community-based enterprises. They also collect garbage in the peri-urban areas. But the main problem we are facing is that in the conversion areas, it's not such of a problem for people to pay for waste and the franchise contractors to correct.
Mm.
But we've got challenges in the peri-urban areas, because 75% of people living in Lusaka, they live in the peri-urban areas.
Yes.
And that is where the poverty levels are high, and people cannot afford to pay for waste. And also because of, before 1991, that time when KK Kaunda, Kenneth Kaunda was the first president of Zambia, had a system when the council was council had a policy of going around the communities to pick garbage when they pay through the ground rates and the other rates.
Yeah.
So when after 1991, after we sold all the council properties, the system completely changed. So people up to now, they still think when they pay for rent, they pay for everything.
Okay.
The system has changed. Yes. So that's the other challenge you're facing.
All right. Let's take another question here from area code 813. The last four digits are 0107. Please go ahead with your question. Okay. They are still 813. Are you there? All right. Let's go to Zebron. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. Thanks, Nathan. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor.
Good afternoon, sir.
I had a question or two, but I'll try to be quick. The first question is: I know you've been in the council for a while. I was just gonna take your opinion. I know when Mulenga Sada became mayor immediately, I think he ordered that they should have TVs in the conference room, I remember, and Wi-Fi in his room and everything. Whilst Lusaka City Council was financially, bleeding. So what is the take? Like, what is the take on that? Do you think, the money that the council has should have been, be spent on that, and even right now I know that a lot of council workers they rarely get paid on time, that the salaries have to be delayed here and there. And then the other question is, I'll go back again to Lusaka Sanity. Lusaka is considered to be one of the deadliest cities in Africa. What would be, how are you gonna improve it? There's like low employment right now in Zambia. Are you gonna try to create jobs by employing more people to be at least sweeping the streets like every certain hours, put more trash cans, at least to give people kind of jobs and try to clean as much as they can? What's your goal to just try to keep Lusaka as clean as possible and avoid having diseases like cholera and all kind of stuff when it rains? That's my question.
I will start with the last one. For the past 15 years now, Lusaka has never had any cholera, not even a single cholera, because of the efforts as the council will put, that every evening, Monday to Sunday, people we have, as a council, employed to sweep the streets. And also in the communities, through our hard-working councillors and the ward development committees, we have engaged the community themselves to start cleaning the drainages, starting from October up to somewhere April, where council, using the ward development funds, pay the communities, which is part of job creation. Because before, the people in the communities, they never used to be engaged to any work. It was officers from the council coming to the communities, but we said no. The people in the communities, because they pay for rates and levies, this
yes.
money should be plowed back, and the people should benefit, should be the people in those communities. Some sort of job creation is being applied. And for your that also, because of the engagement, we have engaged a lot of people, though not full-time, cleaning the streets every day. That's one way of making sure that the city becomes back to its original status, where we used to call it Garden City. And the whole issue on its dirty of the city is compounded, as I explained, that because of the street vending, which are all over, of which now we have taken the position that we are going to put them at one place, where we have no much of a problem to look at waste all over town, because even at that place we are putting up containers where every trader, every street vendor, before he or she starts to trade, she has to make sure that that place where she's trading from is clean and the dirty is put in a container. Come before December this year, I need to make sure that the scenario which people perceive to be, to say Lusaka is the dirtiest city in Africa, to come to an end. That definitely is coming to pass. The issue of my predecessor asking for a Wi-Fi and a TV in the office. This is a modern technology now. We are not in the old type of system. We need to have such things in our offices, because most of the things are now electronic. So if you have it good, and those things you only buy one off, you don't buy every day.
Mm.
So I don't think that was a bad idea, because even in the offices, when we came with the Honorable Mulenga, we went around, we saw that the offices had the old chairs, old computers. We said no. We need to have new chairs, new computers in all the offices. So the office of the mayor is part of the office, like the office of TC, office of director, office of whoever is working in the castle. So if you come to Zambia, you come to the office, you'll be able to see that, oh, yes, I'm in health care.
Excellent. Okay, we'll take another call before we I ask a few more questions. Let's go to Florida. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Your Honor, the Mayor, taking your time to spend your time with us today. First, I commend you on a lot of the programs that you have in place already, as you have explained. It's not an easy task. Now, those of us that are in the diaspora, and I think through Block Talk Radio, instead of just talking about it, we are now beginning to think, how do we actually get to participate on the ground? So my question to you would be, how accessible is your office to, let's say, for instance, if we came in and we needed certain answers or certain help, or on certain projects could only be done through a partnership with the council, in this case with the city. How accessible is your office? And then the second question is with regards to garbage collection. It's one thing to collect all the garbage, but do we have anything in place as far as recycling is concerned? Because that's an area which I think is very critical, but would also need a partnership with the private sector. So how is there anything in place with regards to that? Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir. Let me congratulate you and salute you for those good questions. Yes, my office, at the moment, the office of the mayor is not a full-time. But in my office, I'm in the office every day, Monday to Friday, from 8 hours to 17 hours every day. So every concern of the community or of the city, whoever's got any concern, they always find me in the office, unless I've traveled. But if I'm around in the city, I'm always in the office. That's why even today, I told the organizer of this program, I said, I'll give you the office number, so that we speak from the landline of the council. Meaning I've got access to the office Monday to Friday. Even Saturday, I want, like today, the program, I'll be in the office. So my office is very open at any time to anyone. Coming to the issue of the program of the garbage, I explained the area on that I've met with several partners who want to partner with the council under a PPP type of arrangement, where we have asked them to come in, and only those who are serious who can be able to recycle the waste. By doing that, they also bring in people to be selling waste to that company. That is part of employment. Employment to the locals who will be getting the waste from their houses, other places, to that recycling company. And you find we had the similar problem before of scrap metal. When the introduction was brought to say the companies were set for people to sell scrap metal, now people go long miles to find scrap metal to sell to those companies. So it will be the same as the waste. If there will be these companies, we finalize with them and they start operating in Lusaka, I don't see it can take more than 3 months for the waste to finish, because everybody in each home, they will be busy collecting garbage for sale, so that they can have something out of the thing usually they used to throw away.
On garbage, Your Worship, this question has come up like 3-4 times now in our discussion before I go to California for my colleague. Is there a sort of educative program to make the people understand how this waste management is a big issue? You know that. You've been in council for years. What educational programs do you have in place, and the issues of digging pits to issuing or selling dustbins. I don't know. You can respond to that. I'm just throwing things at you.
Thank you. Thank you. Burning rubbish under the ground in Zambia, Lusaka in Zambia, is an offense.
Ah, okay.
If you are found burning waste, you can either be charged or be imprisoned, put in the prison. So what is the council doing? And through Waste Management Department, there is a section through our public relations officers and that department they go around in the communities, sensitizing the people in the communities how they can look after their waste and why they should not throw garbage indiscriminately, and what implications can be there if they just throw garbage anyhow.
Mm.
So there is a program at the council which sensitizes the people in the community through our committees in the community, the ward development committees, which committees under the office of the area councillor.
Okay, excellent. I'm glad to learn that, and I've learned something, that it's illegal to bury garbage in Lusaka. That's good.
Even to burn, it's also illegal.
Okay. Quickly, let's go to California. Yareka, please go ahead.
Good evening, Your Worship. My name is Yareka. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Yes.
I was in Zambia a few months ago, and I was trying to set up some activities for a non-profit organization that I founded for women, women empowerment. It's called the Anakazi Business Network. So we started, we approached the council so that we can use their parking lot in Woodlands, and because it's not used over the weekends, because we have over 5,000 women who are trading. And these women cannot all afford to pay for a shop. So we said, okay, why don't we approach the council and ask if these women can sell their products at the market. It's a parking lot. They just bring their cars, they open their boots, and they sell. We did this for like 6 times. We approached the council. They agreed for us to work with them, and we were paying every time we were there. Now, 2 weeks ago, I believe there's a new person now in charge of, I don't know if it's marketing or another department, but now we have to start all over again. And, you know, we spend time, we spend energies and, efforts, advertising, and then we get there, we get a letter that, no, you're not allowed, this is illegal, when we have been allowed. So how do we avoid situations like this? Because I'm sure there'll be so many people from the diaspora going home, trying to give back. They put in all the effort, and then at the end, they have to start all over again. So my concern is just we need to get this rectified, and I'm not sure how to approach it. Because we have a similar project
you said it's a
pre-pack? I'm sorry?
Yeah, you said it's a pre-pack. You said it's a pre-pack in Woodlands?
It's a parking lot in Woodlands.
A parking lot.
Woodlands Shopping Center.
Yes. Oh, Woodlands Shopping Center. Oh, okay. It's at the shopping center where the vehicles park.
Yes, but over the weekends they don't work over the weekends. They only work up to noon on Saturday. So they said it's empty anyway.
Okay.
So it's fine, and we are trying to encourage more empowerment programs. So we don't have a problem with you being there. You pay so much. So we've been paying that much. And we didn't have any problem. But the person, we spoke to 3 different people in the council, and they were all agreeable. But there's somebody else who's new. Now we have to start all over again with a new person. And when we got there, they had a letter which they gave to us saying, no, this is legal, when it's not illegal. We asked permission, and we've been paying.
Okay. No, what you need to do, the people here in Zambia, who are the leadership here, ask them to come and see, show me those documents in my office. I've indicated that I'm all in the office Monday to Friday. Let me look at that issue before I make a comment. I may make a comment on something which I will not understand better, unless I've got the papers on my table and look at it, then I'll be able to help, because that is an initiative which we need, because if that place is empty,
during the weekends, and the owners have said it's okay. As a council, I don't think we should come in as a council to say no. Because we can only advise and make arrangements with the same company. So ask them to come and see me. Monday, I'll be a bit busy. I'll be with the president somewhere where we're opening a Imbus Park, a shopping mall. Then Tuesday, I can be very free. If they are ready, they can come and see me on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. Up to Friday, I'll be in the office. They can come and see me. I look at those papers.
It's actually a council shopping. It's actually a council parking lot. It's not even a private parking lot.
Bring those papers to me. I'm going to look at them and make a decision.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you, Areka. Mayor, before, one or two more questions before you go. Every season in Zambia presents challenges. You know that.
Yes, sir.
One of my questions to you is, as the Kanyama flood problem and the Lusaka generally, how is it being addressed? Has it been resolved when it rains?
You're right. Thank you so much. Those are the, you are very right. We had those big challenges. For now, Kanyama, the past 2 years, it has not given us much of that problem of flooding because we have attempted to do some drainages in Kanyama. Even now, there's a company which has just started under the UN Habitat, which is also widening the drain. And also something which has helped us, as I mentioned earlier on, is that we have asked all the councillors in the 33 wards to engage the community from October to April to make sure that every day they get into those drainages which has been filled with the garbage from our residents. Crazy. So every nowadays, when it rains, the water passes quickly to the last destination.
Okay. Because one of the issues is that you see people throwing garbage in the drainage system. I think that's where also the other problem comes in, your worship.
Exactly. Yes.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
There is a bylaw.
Yes.
If anybody is found dumping garbage in the stream or any other place which is not designated for putting garbage, there is a fine. When one is apprehended, what we have introduced now is to parade that person before the TV. So that person is seen, and we speak to him, and we tell him to tell others that dumping garbage in the drainage and any other place is illegal and is going to be either punished by through penalty, paying money, or is going to serve as community punishment for 3 months. So
okay.
We have started doing that, and people now they know that if you are caught, you'll be paraded before the public.
You have acknowledged yourself, your worship, that the population of Lusaka has increased, and 3 million for that infrastructure is quite congestion. A lot of infrastructures come up. Obvious, I would like to presume tariffs, rates, licenses from all these. Has that reflected in the revenue income of the council on the books?
It has reflected into the income of the council. The income is every day, because the other measures were put in as a council. The income is being seen to be increasing. And also, as we have mentioned, yes, that population now, as I mentioned, the city is grown, to the southern, the south, east, and north. It has really grown, and a lot of people now are shifting from the capital city to those areas where they have built some infrastructure.
Okay. Excellent. Let me allow one or two of my colleagues also to chip in as we conclude our discussion here. Okay, let's go to Canada. Roger, please come in.
Thank you, Nathan, and thank you, the mayor, for joining us.
I've one small proposal, Mayor, to make to you. In light of ZESCO problems here where I am in Canada, Okotok, small town, the council is giving a tax credit to homeowners when they get a permit to install power to install a solar panel. They are using the roofs of solar panel. I'm not sure what discussion you're having with ZESCO, but I think we can raise a little bit of money to make sure all the homes starting 2016, all the homes in Lusaka will have to be installed with solar panel. This will help on alleviate. That's number one. Number two, the council yourselves, your buildings, I think you should lead the way tapping into the solar system. Your buildings at the council, we don't know how we can improve these buildings, but these are some of the things you may want to do, because this power problem, by Mayor, is just unacceptable, and it is very negative to the development of any nation.
Exactly, sir. Thank you very much. You are very right. This morning there was a program on Zambia on ZABC 2 where the spokesperson and the one of the directors of ZESCO were discussing about the same, encouraging people to also to go into solar system because of the problem we are facing in Lusaka, where the ZESCO load shedding is almost at every day. Yes, prior to 2011 elections, maybe it was because of a panic of our former ruling party, MMD then, they had started with that program of solar panels
in
most of the government buildings. But maybe it was just a political gimmick. Maybe we need to look at that as the new government to see what could have been put in the rural areas. Nearly all the government infrastructure in the rural areas, the current government has continued to put solar panels because of the deficit of power, ZESCO load shedding we are facing every day. Yes, you are right. As a council, we need to be an example to show to the people that this is what we can achieve if we all put our solar panels on our homes. I'm sure it's an idea which I cannot just say brush it off aside, but it's an idea which, as I discussed with my town clerk Monday, Tuesday, I will be able to fuse that in as a new proposal which we should show as a council, though it's there as Zambia. But you need to show it yourself, who wants people to take part into that.
Mm, excellent. Well, our time is up. Mayor, let's agree that we can have you back like in January to give us an update.
Please, I'll always be available because this is how we learn through such interaction.
Excellent. Let me thank you on behalf of my colleagues and every Zambian living out here. Thank you for taking the time. And you had to drive to your office to talk to us. I greatly appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the worship, Mr. George Nyendwa, Mayor of Lusaka. Thank you, sir. We hope to catch up with you again soon so that you can give us...
I need those brothers and sisters of mine who are abroad to always come home and see what we can do together and invest at home.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. The discussion and the issue concerning power outages and load shedding in Zambia will continue. My colleague Roger and everybody picked up that discussion. I'm trying to work with some people, Roger, to try and get the Minister of Energy or the Managing Director for ZESCO. Have a great weekend, everybody, and next weekend is 4th of July. We'll be talking about the Zambia Diaspora Funeral Fund with some people in the UK. Thank you, and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Please enter the number you wish to call. press star at any time to listen to advanced options.
Oh, Mulungu munisungile banja. Kapena zintu zingachinde, tingankale osangalala. Zuba ingachoki, talema na pepo. Kapena mbale wanga, azazi wakuti akula. Azazi otawa mavuto, alimumanja mwake. Kapena zaziwa, kutia funiko limba. Chifukwa ni mwamuna, afuniko vuti kila banja. Kuti ni bambo wa nyumba, elo atatae wana. Siunga ziwe, aza kutunga kutogoro.